The Inside Aperture podcast introduces you to the experts who use Apple's professional image management application to organize, edit, and output their pictures. Each show features tips and techniques that will help you improve the quality of your photography and bring efficiency to your workflow.
Hi, I'm Derek Story, and I'm here with Rick LePage today, editor-at-large for Macworld magazine. And we're going to talk about printing today, because Rick has been working with a lot of the different printers that are out. He's been testing a lot of different papers and so forth. And there's some great stuff happening in what I would call high-end at-home or studio printing. Wouldn't you say, Rick?
Yes, definitely. In the last, 10 to 12 months, we've seen sort of a big change in the market. Up until, I would say, last spring, you know, if someone came to me and said, I want to buy a printer for doing fine art printing, I don't want a cheap little dye photo printer. I want something that's going to print on rag paper or, you know, print big. You know, the answer pretty much was Epson. Go buy the 4000, or, you know, if you wanted a desktop printer, you'd buy the 2400. And then last spring, Canon came out with a 12-ink printer, pigment printer, that sort of aimed at Epson's mid-range, 17 inches wide, had roll feed capabilities, priced about $2,000. It was a good printer, not a great printer, but it was sort of the first salvo in this, it's not really a war, but this sort of new market dynamic that we hadn't seen before. And then last summer, HP came out with a B-sized printer for the desktop, aimed at the stylus Photo 2400, the PhotoSmart Pro B9180. Pigment-based printer, so that it gives you long-lasting print life on a wide variety of media types. The printer was a revelation in a lot of ways. HP had been trying to hit this market with products over the years and never quite reached there. And the 9180 just took them into a whole new league, into a league with Epson in terms of print quality, pricing, print longevity. It was a great product, and right now you can find it on the street for about $500. So it's cheaper than the 2400. And one of the things that both Canon and HP did last year was, with pigment printers, you either have to have a photo black ink or a matte black ink. And the way Epson had worked it for years was, you want to print on matte paper, you put in the matte ink. Oh, you want to print on photo paper, you got to take the matte ink out, put the photo black ink in, and then wait while it recharges the system. And it's inefficient, it wastes ink, and it wastes time. And what Canon and HP were able to do is, well, we're just going to design a printhead that has both the photo ink and the matte black ink in it. And when you're printing on matte paper, we'll use the matte ink, black ink. And when you're printing on photo paper, we'll use the glossy ink. So you save time and ink. HP did a number of other things with the 9180 that took it beyond just the print quality. They came out with a plugin for Photoshop that made it drop-dead simple to get prints to the printer. They made it easy for you to add new paper types, because, you know, you don't want to always just buy the paper that Epson or HP or Canon sell for the printers. There's tons of great other paper products out there that you want to test. And HP made it really easy for you to add stuff, you know, on the fly, even, you know, putting in Hanamuel smooth fine art paper or someone else's. HP also, with the 9180, released two other printers, the Z2100 series and the Z3100 series, which are wide format printers. They print at 24 and 42 inches wide, I think. The difference between the two, the 3100 has more inks and has a gloss optimizer that goes, a coating that goes on top of the paper to help protect it against scratches and things like that. But the other thing that these printers had was, they had a built-in spectrophotometer, an I1 spectrophotometer that basically lets you profile papers, calibrate the printer, again, on the fly, integrated with the whole printing environment. And these two products, especially for that category of fine art printing where people want to be able to print things fairly large, these two products are wonderful products for that segment of the market.
I've had really good luck with the ICC profiles printing out of Aperture with the 9180. The prints have looked really good. I like that Photoshop plugin that they give you. It's nice, because when you are printing out of Photoshop, it get you away from that print with preview dialog box that I think a lot of us don't like. But printing with the 9180 out of Aputure has actually been really nice. And, you know, I can save all of my settings right there in Aputure in terms of the paper and all the specs. And I've had really good results. So I think you're absolutely right. I think HP really, you know, broke through a wall there with the 9180 and with the other two, also the larger format job.
Yeah, actually the 24-inch wide Z3100, which I have in my home office, is great for printing contact sheets from within Aputure. It's just wonderful. I just print out a big roll of them and take them off with me and look at them off somewhere else. The most interesting thing I think about HP's release this last year was that we're finally at a point where image quality is, it's never secondary, but the experience you have using the product is as important as print quality. You know, both in longevity and quality, color gamut, Epson and HP especially are very similar now. I feel comfortable recommending either the Epson or the HP printers, especially to people who are looking to do fine art printing. Epson came out with a printer this past fall called the Stylus Pro 3800, and that's a $1,300 printer. It's designed for photographers and fine artists who really want to print in quantity. They want to be able to print up to 17x22. Epson did make a couple of changes to the printing system with this. You no longer have to swap out the two black inks. It still uses the same print head that was used in previous models, but the print channels for getting the ink from the ink cartridge to the print head has changed, so that when you go to print on a piece of matte paper, if you had photo black ink selected, there's just a very short period where it charges the ink system and changes over to the other ink type. And I've been really surprised with the printer. It's very fast. It's the fastest Epson I've seen yet. It's much faster than the 9180, but it's really designed for people who want to sell their work, who want to print a lot of their work at high quality, high resolution. It's a wonderful printer for black and white work. The things about it that I find frustrating are things that I wouldn't have found frustrating 2 years ago. You know, I want things like better integration of ICC profiling so that, you know, I can take a paper that I really like and install it in the printer menu so that it shows up as that paper type. The way it is right now, you have to go through some gyrations, and you can do it. It's not hard. But Epson needs to spend a little bit of time focusing on the usability of their printers as much as they have in the past on the print quality and the print speed. The differences between, say, the 2400 and the 3800 are very slight because they use the same ink sets. They're still pigment-based inks, multiple black inks, so that you get much richer black and white work. In print speed and those types of things, where 3800 really does shine as a product. And it stands sort of by itself right now. It's a small printer. It can fit on a desktop or small table. Folds up very small, like the 2400. It just looks like the 2400's big brother. It has much bigger ink cartridges, so you're not going through ink as much as possible. It's a really nice printer. I just wish that, having seen the stuff that HP's done, that it were a little bit easier to use for some of the other things that I'd like to do.
Now, one of the things that the 3800 does have that the 24 doesn't is repeatable results, right? I mean, it has doesn't have an in-calibration system that the 2400 doesn't have.
Yes, the 2400 really is designed to be the entry-level fine art printer, so to speak, and the print head is not manufactured to the same tolerances. I mean, Epson will tell you that you know, it's fairly repeatable, but again, the 3800 is really designed for people who want to sell their work or are extremely serious about it. What's interesting is that while the 9180, that $500 printer from HP, doesn't have a full spectrophotometer built into it, it does have a color densitometer and can do its own calibration, which is great. And that helps make that a more repeatable printer as well for doing prints over time. You know, you're still not going to get the repeatability with these desktop printers that you're going to get with a product like the 3800 or the HP Z series. You're just not, because the companies pay special attention to that in the electronics of the printhead and scanning mechanisms.
So you brought up something earlier that I want to pursue, which is, what if you want to use a different paper then the paper that comes, you know, then Epson recommends with their printer, or HP recommends with their printer. So you've got a couple hurdles. First of all, what are some of the good papers that are out there? And then what do you do about the whole ICC profiling in terms of when you want to use a paper where HP doesn't have it listed on their site or Epson doesn't have the profile listed on their site? So I realize that that's like a couple questions there in one spot. So why don't you just jump in anywhere you want on that, and then we'll just work our way out from the middle.
Okay. Paper types, or media, as we love to call it in the printing world. All of the printer vendors, HP, Canon, Epson, have a wide variety of paper types, media that they sell. You know, you can get glossy papers, you know, semi-gloss, matte finish papers, fine art papers. A lot of the fine art papers are actually not made by the printer vendors themselves, but are actually made by some of the third-party vendors that you see out there, you know, especially if you go to a specialty photo store. The big companies that are out there right now, there's Hahnemühle, which is a German company that's been making paper forever, I think, since Gutenberg at least. There's Crane, Moab. Red River down in Texas is one that you don't hear about a lot, but that sells really nice matte finish papers at really good prices. So there's a bunch of companies out there that are offering stuff, and if you go into any good specialty photo store that does digital work, you'll find some papers in there that are worth trying. You know, most of them are the fine art papers, the smooth finish matte papers or watercolor papers. And up to a couple of years ago, you really had to, you buy these papers and you would have to find someone who had an I1 or, some other ICC profiling device so that they could print out a test target and then scan that test target in and save you a custom ICC profile for the printer that you were going to use. Nowadays, almost all of the third-party media manufacturers are much smarter about this, and you can download the profiles right off of their website in most cases. And I know Hahnemühle has profiles for the B9180, the 3800. I think most of the major fine art printers out there today, they've got profiles set for. You know, and then if you have a product like the Z series, you can actually profile them yourselves right on the fly. You just feed the paper in, tell it to calibrate, and it builds an ICC profile and installs it on your Mac for you. You don't even have to do anything other than insert the paper. So it's worth checking out. Not to poo-poo the paper that the vendors sell, but you can find some really nice alternative media type, you know, out there. And like I said, some of them are cheaper. I mean, you know, the Hahnemühle is starting to make a thinner version of their photo rag, which is a wonderful rag matte finish paper with no optical brightener, so that there's nothing you have to worry about fading on. And they actually made a thinner version of that recently, much cheaper. And I saw some prints this morning that looked wonderful on it. So you just have to look around, you play a little bit. Most of the companies offer samples packs that you can buy fairly cheap with a couple of sheets in it so that you can play around with them. You know, I find that what you really want to do is get a couple of paper types that you really like and focus on printing on those. You know, maybe you take a semi-gloss that you like and a matte finish paper and focus on getting the best prints you possibly can out of it. You really do want a custom ICC profile if at all possible. If you can do it yourself, that's great. There are also places that will do that for you. They'll send you the target and you can print it out, or at minimum get the profiles from the websites.
Yeah, I agree. I think those profiles are really important, and I think it's very smart of the vendors to at least provide us with a starting point, you know, with the profiles, because in Aperture, not only are they important when you're printing out, but you can do on-screen proofing. You can call out that profile while you're looking at your images. So if you're thinking about printing it out on, let's say, two different stocks, and you're not really quite sure which way you want to go, you can have a peek. It's not, you know, as we all know, reflective print is still always going to look different than what you see on your monitor. But it does kind of give you a little inkling of, you know, how, what to expect coming out of the printer. And so, I think I have a lot of fun playing with that. I custom profiles are far and away the best, but I have fairly good luck with the canned profiles most of the time.
I would agree. And one of the things that I would strongly suggest when you're printing out of Aperture and you're using the on-screen profiling is play with the black point compensation checkbox. there's some paper types where turning that on definitely helps the print. And sometimes when you're working and you're printing something out and, you know, that vision that you see on the screen isn't translating to the paper that you want and you're not quite sure how to do it, sometimes I find just hitting that checkbox solves my problem enough that I get much closer to the print I want.
That's a really good tip, and I have found the same thing too. I start calling it the magic checkbox sometimes for that very reason. So right now when we're looking, we haven't talked about Canon very much, so we'll loop back to that in just a minute. But really right now for desktop printers, for fine art printing, you know, on the HP side, you know, 9180, I think we're both fairly big fans of that printer. On the Epson side, you know, it looks like the 3800 is probably pretty much the printer right now in terms of desktop printing with Epson printers. And then what's going on with Canon? I mean, you know, they had been making some noise, and they're talking a lot about printing.
Canon has done quite a bit at the very high end of the market with their pigment inks. They have a couple of very wide printers that have 12 inks in them. And then I talked about the 5000, which came out last year. 5000 is priced around $1,800, so it's still more expensive than the 3800. It does. You can get a roll attachment with it, which helps. Canon has been showing a desktop pigment-based printer called the 9500 for almost 2 years now. We first saw it at Macworld, I think, in 2005. It was actually 2005 we first heard about it. And I just saw it at PMA a few weeks ago. And yet when I go up and I ask, well, when am I going to be able to buy this? I get, soon. My understanding is they've taken it from 12 inks down to 10, which is common when you're trying to shrink the size of the printer down. You give up a little bit in terms of the inks in the print head. But I don't know when I don't know when that product is going to ship. And there's a big hole right now in the market, especially when you consider the fact that the print quality aspect of this whole thing has really narrowed in the last year. You know, I mean, with HP getting up to Epson's level, and Canon coming close with the 5000. There's still some issues with the 5000 that, you know, make it the best recommended product in the market. But it's got its fans as well. But they really need to push something out there in the under $1,000 space, if not the $500 space, because, you know, Epson does have the 2400. They also have the 1800, which is a nice sort of desktop printer that I've seen out there for $425, $450. That's a really good pigment-based printer. Canon's just sort of missing in action right now on that whole front, which is too bad, because they make some good products, especially on the camera side.
And I know they are serious about the printing side too. And my guess is when they do get the 9500 out the door, we'll probably have a lot of fun with it.
Yeah, I would imagine so. I think that they're smart enough to look at what's going on in the market and where they might have thought a year ago even, well, we could put this product out there and it would get some success. They've seen what's gone on and realized that they've got to sort of kick it up a notch. But I would really like to see Canon in there playing hard, because in the end, that works for all of us. You know, I think, you know, you'll see printer prices dropping, you'll see ink prices dropping, and you'll see media prices dropping.
Rick, thanks so much for stopping by and talking printing with us. It's been a real pleasure.
Oh, I love talking printing, Derek. Thanks a lot.
The Inside Aperture podcast is produced by O'Reilly Media. To learn more about Aperture, be sure to visit digitalmedia.oreilly.com/aperture for articles, tutorials, blogs, and podcasts. This show is produced on a Mac using Soundtrack Pro. See you next time.